All right, we'll say good morning. We pick up today on page Kuf Lamed Beis in the middle of the section about Kavod. Remember again, the Ramchal was telling us that there are two desires that ultimately uproot man fundamentally. The first was Chemdas HaMamon, right? An incredible, almost unending desire for money. And the second was Chemdas HaKavod, the desire ultimately for honor. See, he's giving examples of this. Yesterday we spoke about Yeravam ben Nevat. Today he says, Migarm leKorach sheyova tuvachal adasu imo. What caused Korach and his entire assembly to be lost? Ela mipnei haKavod. Rather, again, why were they lost? They were lost ultimately again because they desired Kavod. Umikram alihu, and it's Meforish HaPasuk, ubikashtem gam kuhuna. That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, what do you want? You've been given so much and you still want kuhuna. You still want to be the Kohen Gadol v'chacham zuchorim livracha. Higidu lanu ki kol ze nimshach b'pnei sheraj elitzafan ben uziyah nasi v'hu v'haya rotze liyos hu nasi b'mkomo. So, and the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that the entire rebellion of Korach began for one reason, and that was because Korach saw that Elitzafan ben Uziel, that zipper was a bit dramatic. Right? So what happened? So Korach saw that Elitzafan ben Uziel was appointed the nasi of the particular family, and therefore again Korach was jealous. It's amazing, that jealousy is what led Korach to launch his rebellion. And that jealousy, that pursuit of the ego, ultimately led to the death of 250 men. Remember, again, the rebellion of Korach has absolutely no pure motivations. The rebellion of Korach is all about someone's kavod. That Korach, and it's an amazing thing if you think about it, that one man's ego, one man's kavod, first of all, the fact that he got so many other people involved in his rebellion is absolutely dramatic. This idea that his own ego is what fueled an entire rebellion, and that his own ego caused such terrible collateral damage, is just, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but it's not hard to imagine because you see things like this every day. Hu shagarm lefi das chachamim zichron levracha, ela meraglim sheyotzi diba al haaretz, vigarmu misa lahemu l'chol doram. Similarly, again, this is interesting. This, he's actually quoting, this is the Netziv quotes this. He says that what caused the Meraglim, the spies, to go out and deliver their disastrous reports about the Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately caused their death and the death of their entire generation, Mir Asam Penimat Kvodam Dechnisa Sa'arit Shlo Yehem Nes Nesim LeYisrael, Kuflam and Gimel, V'yamdu Achim Koman. Well, so listen to this, this is wild. The Ramchal says, do you know why the Meraglim delivered their disastrous reports? Because the truth is, to a certain degree, it is counterintuitive what they did. The Ramchal says, because they were scared. Who are the Meraglim? The Meraglim were leaders of Klal Yisrael. They were concerned that once we entered into the land, they would no longer retain that same standing, and that they would be relegated to the status of regular people. So in order to preserve their covet, in order to preserve their office, in order to preserve their title, their elevated status, they sabotaged entry into Eretz Yisrael. I say now again. So actually, the Netziv says this explicitly in his parish on the pasuk. But I must say this is an amazing thing. Now again, if you were to now understand one thing, people who are motivated by kavod, if you ever ask them what their motivation is, what's the one thing they will never tell you? Kavod, right? No one's ever going to say, I'm doing this for my ego. I'm totally doing this for my kavod, right? It's never about my kavod. In fact, the amazing part is that often when we do things for ego, we have this incredible gift to cloak it in some type of holy initiative, or some type of selfish. So what happens? So Korach comes back, and remember, what's Korach's claim? Korach's claim to Moshe is, Kulanu Kidoshim, we're all holy. Why are you holier than we're all? Look at Klal Yisrael, we're all incredibly kadosh. What do the Meraglim say? The Meraglim aren't phrasing in holiness. The Meraglim say, we care about you, Klal Yisrael. We don't want you walking into a trap. This is going to be terrible. This is going to, we're going to be decimated. But again, at the end of the day, it's amazing that here an entire nation died out. Essentially, everybody 20 and above died out. 40 years, 4 decades go by without going into Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, Moshe Rabbeinu is prevented from going into Eretz Yisrael, all because of one reason, because of the ego, because of the covet of the Meraglim. It's astounding. Ama Yisrael Shaul Laravim Da'el David. Why? What caused the beginning of the tension between Shaul and David? Ela mipnei haKavod. Remember again, David HaMelech was one of Shaul's most trusted soldiers. right? Because after David kills Goliath, he kills Goliath, he comes into Shaul's army, and he becomes Shaul's right-hand man. But yet then Shaul turns on David. Why does Shaul turn on David? Because what happens when they were having a parade, right? When they were having a parade to celebrate one of the Jewish victories, so what happens? The girls were coming out and they were singing. And what did they say? They say, oh, Shaul went ahead and killed thousands, and David tens of thousands. The moment Shaul heard that, Shaul heard that, and then he began to turn. The moment that he felt that David was more popular than him, that David was being given more cover than him, that's the moment Shaul begins to turn on David. He goes, Amigram Yoav Shiyam says Amasa. Why did Yoav go ahead and kill Amasa? Elaha Kovit, Shamar lo David, in lo sart savat lefanai kol yomim. Because ultimately, again, Amasa was given a higher position in the military than Yoav. Klalo shel davar. Rabbi say, here is the klal. Hakovod hu adoche kesleif ha'adam, yoser mikola teshukos v'achamado sheba olam. Covet is something that pushes and drives man more than any other desire, which is interesting, because I think if you would ask most people, what is the strongest desire in man, I would have thought that people would normally answer that with that would be arayos, be immorality. Because immorality seems to be like the most innate drive within man. But it's interesting that Ramchal says, no, that's not it, it's covet. It's people yearn and desire and pine for covet more than anything else. Let's listen to this. I would say, now what's the proof? This is so interesting. What's the proof that covet is the strongest push within man? Because if ego wasn't a factor, the truth is, a person would be happy eating pretty much anything he could, meaning not anything, like just simple things, getting by on simple things. Lilbosh mashi echasa ervasa, right? He would go ahead and just simply wear, you know, basic clothing. Velishkon babayi shetastir minapigoyim. He would live in a very simple home, right? A home that just protect me from the elements. That's really all I need. Vahaisa parnasasa kala alav. And the truth is, I'd make a parnasa, but I would make what I need. Velo haydetzarech lihisyagea laha asher klal. And the truth is, there'd be no need to be wealthy. He says, Ella, now this is very interesting. He says, Ella, Shelevil Tira os Asmo Shafal Upachos Mereya. The Ramchal says that whether we recognize this or not, part of the motivation we have to be financially successful, to live in a nice home, to eat nice food, to drive a nice car, whatever, you fill in the blanks. He says, ultimately, because I don't want to feel less than the other. I don't want to feel. Now, again, I will say, the reality is most of us are not really conscious of this. The Ramchal says, but that is no question part of the motivation of our drive to succeed and continue to do, because I don't want to be looked at as less than the other. So if my friend is successful, it's not, again, I'm not begrudging his success. He should be successful. This is not jealousy. This is not kina. We spoke about kina before. But almost like the push that we have, says the Ramchal, if we're honest with ourselves, part of it is rooted in covet. I don't want to be perceived as having or being less than the other. Machnis atzmo ba'avi akora hazos ve'inkates the cholam alo. A person literally puts themselves, people say, ba'avi akora, he writes over here in footnote 311, means, l'kovet hamasa. I literally put myself under this yoke, under this burden in life, all because I want to preserve my covet. Al king amur abosina. People say, it's a very, I don't know, I'll tell you, I was looking at this, and the truth is, It's a troubling statement, because the truth is, I don't know, I thought one could have made the argument that the drive to succeed doesn't have to be rooted in covet. The drive to succeed, I'm sorry?
Self-actual.
100%, or just a person. But I think what Ramchal is saying is, you know, what he's talking about over here, by the way, is material success. You know, he's not talking about a career where a person contributes. He says, why is it that we're not happy with the basics? Why is it that we're not happy with the basics? I was thinking about this. I'll tell you what you see this. You know, if you ever notice, you go to Eretz Yisrael, they have cars there that you don't see anywhere else. Right, meaning they're so small that when you first see them, they look like mamash. Like you're not sure, is it real? Is it play? And the truth is, you rent this car, you drive it around, you're happy as can be. And the truth is, like, when you're in America, so a person wouldn't entertain buying that car, right? Or renting that. So what's the pshat? Because, again, in the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, kind of that's what everybody's doing, right? Gas is expensive, so everybody's trying to get by in as little as possible. And the truth is, it's fine. Nobody thinks about it. Here, if you were to pull up in that car, and the truth is, again, my friend's driving something a little bit nicer, this is driving a little bit nicer, you know, I could run the risk of feeling a little bit less. So what Ramchal is saying is, at the end of the day, it's important to understand that much of our motivation about what we earn, how we live, how we dress, how we conduct our material lives, is very much, whether consciously or subconsciously, rooted in our desire not to appear less than the other. And I would say it's so important to be aware of this, because what Ramchal essentially is saying is that many of us spend too much of our lives focused on keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the Schwartzes, you know, whichever one it is. But all of that is part of this desire for covet. Again, I want to be clear. I'm not begrudging. It's not that I need more because I'm upset that my friend. I'm happy for my friend, but I feel this internal push to be able to compete and to be able to keep up and to be able to have as much as that, because I don't want to feel like less of a person. He goes on. Therefore, Chazal said, based on the Mishnah and Avos, this is why they said kina, jealousy, which we spoke about, taiva, desire, which we spoke about, and covet, and honor, motzien esa adam min ha'olam, literally can draw a person out from the world. That literally, again, a person could devote their entire life to maintaining their covet, and literally it could sap a person of life. V'hishirunu al tevakish gedula v'al tachmud covet. And literally Chazal told us, do not spend your life seeking honor, or don't seek out greatness, and don't desire honor. I will say that obviously a person should seek out personal greatness. The idea over here is that a person should not go ahead and spend their life seeking out covet. He goes on, Kamahem Shemis Anin Barav V'yashpilu Atz. So listen to this. Now I will say here, he says, let's just do two more minutes, and then we're gonna go into Davayomi. He says, Kamahem, there are so many people, Shemis Anin Barav V'yashpilu Atzmam Le'esparnes Min Atztaka. How many people are there who unfortunately are poor and they're hungry and they have to be supported by tzedakah? Why? Because they're offered a job, but that job is not bakavadik enough for them. Right? It's not bakavadik enough for me. So I would take it, except mir asam penyimat kvodam. See, how could I do such a job like that? It's beneath me. So what happens? Suppose say, you know, this is the flip side now. So if we're talking about that, a covet sometimes drives a person to do more, acquire more than what they need in order to keep up. Now here's the opposite, that how many people ultimately subject themselves to difficult circumstances because of their ego. They can help themselves if just they put their covet in check and took the job. It's not your dream job. It's not the best job. Maybe it feels a little bit awkward for you to be doing a job like this. You know what? A job is a job. And if you have the opportunity to support yourself, to take care of yourself, then you do it. But how many people subject themselves to difficult circumstances, their families to difficult circumstances, because, it's not bakavadik enough for me. The yosir mizeh, yirtzu bevatala hamavi lidei shimon v'lidei zima v'lidei gezo v'lidei kol gufe averos. And even worse than that, I will say, even worse than the poverty, is the idleness. I will say, there is nothing worse in life than idleness. Nothing worse in life than not being busy. Busyness is the ultimate bracha. Because when you are idle, ultimately, again, you will get yourself into trouble. That idleness, the Gemara says, brings one. Ultimately, shimo means insanity, shigaon. Zima means immorality, gezel, theft. V'lidei kol gufei averos. And brings you to a whole host of errors. Let's just finish this. Shalom. And people do all of this. Why? People subject themselves to terrible circumstances, miss out on potentially good opportunities for themselves and their families. Why? All because a person feels that this opportunity is not bakavatik enough. This opportunity ultimately is not befitting my ego, and therefore, again, they subject themselves and their families to all types of difficult circumstances. So we'll stop over here. I was hoping to finish the parak, but it's okay. Didn't happen today. But Emir Tzashem, Monday, we will finish up again with a discussion about COVID. It's very profound. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to think about. Any nida. He's again. Remember, he's not telling you to eliminate the nida of kavod. What he's saying is that, like everything, a person has to have it in moderation. But this notion that a person's whole material life.
I'm saying in a positive sense also, a person's
not doing things because of his. There's a shdolishma, balishma, there's no question.
I'm saying because a person's certain sense of self respect that I'm not going to behave.
Right, in a chinami. Again, remember, he's not saying covered as a nida is all negative.
Unchecked,
correct. That's the right word. All right, Yud Beis. That was the problem.